Please take your Bibles tonight. We're going to turn to the book of Isaiah, first of all, Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55 for our scripture reading. Dr. Saunders was mentioning long-winded preachers and long sermons and sleepy hearers. I trust tonight we will have neither. Of course, long is a relative term. When you consider the Apostle Paul, he continued his speech till midnight. I don't think we'll be here to midnight tonight, but we trust the Lord will help us as we look into his word and bless his word. I was thinking at the beginning of last week about this time and what to preach, and the Lord drew my attention to a particular verse and passage. I began some work on it, and as the week went on, I began to question whether that was the word of the Lord for tonight, and doubts began to come into my mind and heart, and I sought the Lord for direction, and coming this morning, I was greatly encouraged as I looked to the bulletin and looked to the back of the bulletin to read the little devotional there. It was a great encouragement to me and a confirmation that the word I had was the right word. And we trust the Lord will bless his word to our hearts tonight. We're going to read, first of all, here in Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55, beginning to read at the verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Then turning over to the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29 and the verse 10. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations, and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. Amen. We'll end our reading there at the verse 14. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. With our Bibles open, let's come before the Lord in prayer and just ask His blessing upon our time and upon the preaching of His Word. Let's pray. Our Father and our God in heaven, we come before Thee this night. And it is a joy to come into Thy presence. We thank Thee, Lord, for Thy Word. We pray, Lord, as we bow our heads in Your presence now, that we would crave the speaking voice of God. We pray for the ministry of the Spirit through the Word to our hearts. We ask, Lord, that You would direct our steps. Send out Thy light and Thy truth. Lead us according to righteousness, we pray. Lord, may we find encouragement in Thee this night. We thank Thee for the greatness of our God and the great Lord we serve. Still our hearts before Thee. May there be that humility in Thy presence, Lord, that we would stand in awe, marvel at Your great grace, Your loving kindness and Your tender mercy. Sanctify us through Thy truth, Lord. Thy Word is truth. We pray that the Word would be written upon every heart. We ask, Lord, that we would be enabled to draw near to Thee. Help us to resist the devil, that he would flee from us. Oh, that we would know what it is to have clean hands and a pure heart. May we have that single-minded heart, that singleness of heart and devotion to serve the Lord. Lead us on with Yourself now, we pray. Grant us help, we ask. And do us good, we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Our God is a God of logic and of complete order. God does all things decently and in order. It says in our text here in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, I know the thoughts that I think toward you. God thinks. He is a God of logic and a God of order. And yet, what a great expanse, a great gulf there is between our thoughts and God's thoughts. His thoughts are infinitely high and holy. Who hath known the mind of the Lord? Who hath been His counselor? We were reading in Isaiah 55, the Lord says, My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God, according to His infinite wisdom, and in His divine pleasure, formed all things. He upholds all things by the word of His power according to His divine plan. According to His divine providence, He executes in time His good plan, His good pleasure, His purposes in the earth. The psalmist said, The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of His heart to all generations. Our God is a God of logic and of order. But we learn from our text here that God thinks especially upon His people. The psalmist also repeats that truth in Psalm 40, in the verse 5. He said, Many, O Lord my God, are Thy wonderful works which Thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. He said in verse 17 of that chapter, I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. How precious are God's thoughts unto His people. How great is the sum of them. We are told in Psalm 139, they are more in number than the sand of the sea. I was exhorting the students this week to, the next time they're at the beach, to take a handful of sand and try to count the individual grains. It's impossible to count the grains of sand, just one handful. And yet God's thoughts towards His people are more in number than the sands of the sea. How precious they are. God's thoughts to His people, we read here, are thoughts of peace and not of evil. God deals with His people faithfully. He deals with His people in mercy. He is faithful indeed in showing mercy to His people. If God failed to show mercy, if He removed His hand, what would that mean for us? But God is faithful in showing His mercy to us day by day. Indeed, new every morning are the mercies of God toward us. It is of the Lord's mercy we are not consumed. He deals with us in loving kindness and with tender mercy. And yet, as God's people, we do not understand His purposes at times. Our eyes are holden that we do not see Him. We do not understand His way. Sometimes we are tossed. Sometimes we feel God has forgotten to be gracious. Sometimes we feel and we think God does not think upon us. Sometimes we are very ignorant of His purposes in this world and even in our own life. So limited is our understanding. Our understanding of His purpose is so limited. We are finite creatures of dust. And yet the Lord knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust, and He thinks upon us. Though high and lifted up, He has respect unto the lowly. What a comfort that is, that God remembers us in our low estate. Even before the foundation of the world, He had us in mind and upon His heart. Such was His foreknowledge. And yet sometimes we are very ignorant of His purposes in the world. Our understanding of His way is often skewed because of personal bias, personal prejudice, because of our view of culture, because we are so influenced by this present evil world, because our thinking is often tainted by sinful motives and personal prejudice. And often our thinking is naturally contrary to the ways of God. Our thoughts are not His thoughts, neither are our ways His ways. How ignorant we as Christians can be with regard to the purposes of God in the world. We have one example of this in Matthew chapter 16. In Matthew chapter 16 and the verse 21, if you'd like to turn there, we read of that announcement that the Lord made to His disciples concerning His suffering, how it was necessary for Him to suffer. And in Matthew 16 and the verse 21, we read, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto His disciples how that He must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. And then Peter took Him and began to rebuke Him, saying, be it far from Thee, Lord, this shall not be unto Thee. But the Lord turned, and He said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. And Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Here you have that astounding announcement. The Christ must suffer, must die. It must needs be. He must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things, be killed and be raised again the third day. Peter responds, Be it far from thee, Lord. Or pity thyself. Be kind to thyself. It shall not be unto thee. He didn't understand the purposes of God in the world. And Christ had to rebuke him. Get thee behind me, Satan. Peter was acting like an adversary. He knew not the purpose of God. And when we do not understand his purposes, we may take inappropriate steps that hinder rather than help the progress of the gospel. We can become a stumbling block in the way. Christ made it clear, the kingdom is advanced through his suffering. The kingdom is advanced in affliction. And sometimes the progress of grace and faith in us is advanced through trial and affliction. That's how we learn. The psalmist said, It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Learn and understand something more of the purposes of God in our lives. There are many times in affliction we do not understand the purposes of God. We often find ourselves asking the question, What doest thou? We wonder what the Lord is doing. And the Lord has to come and minister to our hearts, and just as he did with the disciples in John 13, What I do now thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter. God knows the end from the beginning. He is the first and the last. He is the Alpha and the Omega. And though we may not understand his ways, he is perfectly acquainted with his plan and with his purposes. The way God goes about the execution of his divine plan is not always the route we would take, the way we would go. We do not understand his ways. His ways are not our ways. So mysterious is his providential plan. His way seems strange, hard for us to comprehend. We look for a crown of glory. He says, Come, take up your cross, follow me. We look for ease. He sends a thorn in the flesh. Sometimes he gives, sometimes he takes away. And God allows affliction at times to remind us, I suppose, how frail we are. Not only how frail we are, but how much we need him. How we depend upon him for all things. And yet what a great gulf, a great expanse there is between God's thoughts, his ways, and our ways, our thoughts. But what a comfort it is for us as the children of God to know that our times are in his hand. The omniscient God who knows all things, who has searched us, who knows us. There's not a word in our mouth, but lo, he knows it. He knows the thoughts that come into our mind, every one of them. He knows us. And it's a comfort to us that this God with whom we have to do, this God whom we serve, is a rock, as we read in Deuteronomy 32, for his work is perfect. All his ways are just. He's a God of truth, without iniquity. Just and right is he. As for God, his way is perfect. We can trust in him. And it's God. He is the one who girds us with strength, who makes my way perfect. And the Lord says here in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. It's a wonderful thing that God reveals Himself to His people. God gives expression to His thoughts in His Word. We have a revelation of God in our hand. Words really communicate thoughts. How do we communicate to others what we are thinking? We do so verbally, by our words. And these words in Jeremiah 29, they are the words of the prophet Jeremiah. They form part of a letter that he was to send to the captives in Babylon, those who have been taken captive because of their sin. The prophet was to send this letter, this word to them. And this letter really is a revelation of God's mind and will for His people. Because in that day, false prophets came along. And they were speaking smooth words to the people. They were telling the people that their suffering would not be a prolonged thing. That it would soon end. That they would be delivered. However, the Lord sent word by Jeremiah saying that the trial would be prolonged, even 70 years their captivity would be. You're going to be here some time. You better think about building houses, taking wives, dwelling in them, raising your children. You're going to be here for a while. And this letter really is a revelation of God's will. Those false prophets who were not sent by God had deceived the people, causing them to believe a lie. And so God's prophet Jeremiah comes with this letter, this word from God, revealing God's mind to them. This is a revelation of God's will to those who, because of their sin, found themselves in bondage, slaves to the alien nation. God sends them a word. Though you will be afflicted, though the trial may be long, remember, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. I know what I'm doing. God is in control. God is our sovereign God who is over all. And yet in His Word, He reveals His mind, His thoughts. He reveals Himself. He makes His purposes known to us. And we can rejoice in that. He has not left us to ourselves to muddle our way through. But He gives direction. He gives comfort. He gives encouragement to His people. And what a comfort that is as we think upon God and His thoughts towards us. God says, I know the thoughts that I think. I know. Friend, if you're going through some prolonged trial tonight, and you think and you feel God has forgotten to be gracious in your affliction, your suffering, you wonder if God knows, you wonder what God is doing, God says, I know. Even if you don't understand what I'm doing, I know what I'm doing. My way is perfect. Job was able to say, He knows the way that I take. When He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And what do we learn here from this text? Well, we learn that our Heavenly Father seeks our instruction, not our destruction. He seeks reconciliation, not condemnation. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. His thoughts to His saints are thoughts of peace and not of evil. Sometimes He has to lovingly chasten us. Sometimes His hand is very heavy upon us. But He does it for our correction. No chastening for the present is joyous but grievous. Yet afterward, we read in Hebrews 12, there is that peaceable fruit of righteousness. God seeks our instruction, not our destruction. There may be that moment of wrath, but it's followed by great mercy. And you know, this is where a clear understanding of the gospel is so very important. The gospel of Jesus Christ delivers from sin's condemnation. Sometimes, sensing our own failure under a sense of our own guilt, and seeing our own sinfulness and our waywardness, we become discouraged. We think God will not hear us. But as we understand the gospel, and we understand the nature and character of our God, His thoughts towards us are thoughts of peace, not of evil. Having put away our sin, Jesus Christ reconciles us to God the Father. He is our advocate with the Father. Yes, we deserve judgment. Yes, we deserve to be condemned. But God, in mercy, has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. We have come to know that remission of sins. And with the remission of sins, the fact that God has readily forgiven our sins, there is that sense of pardon. And knowing pardon, there is great peace in the soul. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. There's that release of the debt. Jesus Christ, having taken our sin and our guilt upon Himself, paid the debt that we should have paid. He, as our substitute, died in our place. And so we know remission of sins in Him. We know that release from the debt. There's no longer any condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. He blots out our iniquities. And God cannot, does not demand double payment for a debt that has already been paid. Jesus has paid it all. And our sins are covered. And on top of that, there is this idea of reconciliation. We have been reconciled to God through the blood of the cross. There's that gospel peace. And yet under a sense of guilt, we imagine God's thoughts to be of war, not peace. To be geared towards our destruction rather than thoughts of grace and mercy. Yet He makes it very clear. His thoughts are thoughts of peace, not of evil. God in Christ, we read in 2 Corinthians 5:19, God in Christ reconciles us to Himself, not imputing our trespasses. There's the turning away of our captivity. The gathering to Himself. Reconciliation to the Father. Acceptance in the Beloved. And such is the reconciling, restoring power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is our confidence as the children of God. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have a standing before God, Romans 5. We have hope. An expected end. He has made peace by the blood of His cross. You know, the cross of Jesus Christ is the ultimate expression of His never-dying love. His goodwill towards men. Peace on earth. As sinners are reconciled to God, Christ has died, the just for the unjust, to bring us to God. To bring us together. There's that reconciliation there. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. And when we find ourselves afflicted, wondering what is going on, when there is that sense of guilt, what are we to do? We're to turn again to our God. Return unto Him. Look to Him. Recognize His nature. Recognize His love. Enjoy that gospel peace. The chastisement, the punishment that leads to our peace was upon Him. It is by His stripes we are healed. God seeks our instruction, not our destruction as His people. But what is God's intention here? It says to give you an expected end. To give you hope and a future. Christ Jesus secures a blessed hope for His people, an expectation of future glory. The Spirit of God being given, dwelling in every child of God, really is the earnest of that inheritance, the guarantee. We have a hope. We have a future. It is Christ in us, the hope of glory. This is God's purpose. This is God's will for His people. He's revealing His mind, His heart for us. When God reveals His thoughts to His people, He expects that we receive His word with all readiness of mind. And on top of that, that we act upon His word. That we know it, we believe it, we obey it. That's a scriptural pattern. You must know the truth. You must, by faith, receive it. And then that word must be put into practice. There must be that obedience to the word. And when God reveals His mind to His people, He expects that we receive His word and put it into action in our lives. And therefore, He calls us to forsake sin. To forsake sinful ways and sinful thoughts and seek Him. Verse 12 says, "Then shall ye call upon Me, and ye shall go and pray unto Me, and I will hearken unto you. Ye shall seek Me and find Me when you search for Me with all your heart. I will be found of you." In Isaiah 55, verse 6 and 7, there is that call to the wicked to forsake their way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return. And the Lord says, "I will abundantly pardon. I have thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end." Yes, there's a future hope, a glorious prospect that awaits us. But now, in the present, God would have us live according to His word. Our God has made provision for us, not only for the life to come, but for the here and now. He wants His people to be equipped for this life. He wants to give them an end and an expectation. Having begun a good work in us, He continues that work. He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That work is ongoing. And it should be the desire of every child of God to bring our thoughts more and more into conformity to the thoughts of God. More and more our thinking must be conformed to the ways of God. The Lord wants to equip us. He delivers from an evil or an accusing conscience. He purges our conscience from dead works that we would serve the living God. He grants relief, a sense of relief, of pardon, of joy in the gospel, turns us from idols to serve Him, to delight in the God of our salvation. He grants hope and confidence. There's that continual expectation that when we come to Him, we will be accepted. We will find acceptance with the Father when we call upon Him. We can have that confidence tonight. There's the sure word of the Lord here. "Then shall ye call upon Me, and ye shall go and pray. I will hearken unto you. You'll seek Me. I will be found of you. I will turn away your captivity." We can take comfort and have confidence in the Word of God, but our thoughts must be more and more conformed to God's way of thinking. That we would love what He loves and hate what He hates. That we would forsake sinful thoughts, and that our minds would be furnished with holy and pure thoughts. What did Paul say in Philippians 4? "Think on these things. Those things are pure, that are pure and lovely, true, honest, virtuous, excellent. Think on these things, and these things do." You know, there are two thoughts that occupy the mind of natural men, of sinful men. In the first place, they think themselves to be in control. Man thinks that he is in control of his own destiny. And so he lives with no thought of God. He denies the authority of God. He lives for self. All his thoughts are, there is no God. The psalmist said in Psalm 10, verse 4, the wicked have no thought of God. They think themselves self-sufficient, in control of their own destiny. And the other thought of the wicked is that they are basically good. Man thinks he's basically good, in his own estimation at least. Self-righteous. And sadly, that is the way we think many times. We think we're in control. We think we're good enough. But God's thoughts are very different. God says we're poor and needy, wretched, blind, naked. God says we're unrighteous. And sometimes He has to upset our purposes and our ideals and our plans that we would see just how frail and how puny, how little we are, how great He is, and how we need Him. That our thoughts would be conformed more and more to His. That we would seek Him and find Him. That we would search with all the heart. Well, there needs to be the daily renewing of our minds. As we come to the Word of God, that we would be furnished with holy thoughts, seeking the Lord. Forsake sinful thoughts. Furnish the mind with holy thoughts. Seek the Lord while He may be found. We must make God's thoughts our thoughts. If His ways are to be our ways. If we are to walk in the way of the Lord, we must meditate on the thoughts of God. His thoughts are revealed in His Word. Here we have the mind of Christ. And Peter says we are to gird up the loins of our mind. Gird up the loins of your mind. To gird up your loins in ancient times was really to gather up the long flowing robes and tighten them with a belt. In preparation for work, or whether it was for the battle, even running a race, they would gather up the long flowing robes, they would tighten them with the belt. Girding up the loins has the idea of gathering up the loose folds. Gather up the loins of the mind. Your loins would be girded about with truth. The belt of truth is that which holds everything in its proper place. If we are to do any spiritual work, we must gird up the loins of our minds by a knowledge of God's truth. And the Christian is to bring every thought into captive obedience to the Word of God. Gird up the loins of your mind. The belt of truth keeps you from loose thinking, from vain thoughts, from ungodly thoughts, guided by the truth. And that means we must know the Word, know the truth about Christ, the nature of His forgiveness, enjoy the gospel, enjoy our standing in Christ. Our sins have been put away. We've been redeemed by the precious blood. We've been reconciled to God through the blood of the cross. We have a standing with God. And though we fail at times, we find ourselves afflicted and tried, even chastened. God is a God of mercy and of love. He chastens to correct. His thoughts are always thoughts of peace. He always deals with His people in mercy. He is faithful in showing mercy. And as we set our minds upon Him, we will know His peace. Isaiah 26, verse 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. If you like, when your thoughts stop with God, whose imagination ends with God, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee. May the Lord help us then to think those right thoughts, because as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. There must be that right thinking that leads to right living. There's a need for spiritual discernment, that we would have our eyes open to behold truth. This is distinct from error. That we would be enabled to stand upon our convictions, live a pure life of integrity before God, knowing His peace, standing fast in the gospel. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. What a word that is. Even when we don't know, even in the darkness, even when we cannot trace the purposes of God, He knows exactly what He's doing. We can trust in Him. His thought is a thought of peace, of goodwill, not of evil. He will bring us to our expected end. May the Lord be our guide and be our helper, and gird us with that strength that we need, for the journey is too great. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father and our God in heaven, we come to Thee this night. We're thankful for this word of comfort to our hearts. It's a great encouragement to us, Lord. We know that we are unworthy of the least of Your blessings. And yet, day by day, God daily bestows His bounty upon us. We're thankful for the daily help we receive, Lord. You help us with the burdens of life that so weigh us down. And yoked to Christ, we can know that help, that aid in our work. Oh Lord, that we would continually come unto Thee and learn of Thee, be instructed in Thy way, that our thoughts would be conformed more and more to Your thoughts and to Your ways. Direct our steps, Lord, we pray. Lead us on with Yourself. We pray for Your blessing to remain upon this word. Do not let the evil one come in and snatch away the seed of the word, but write Your word upon each and every heart, that we would find strength in Thee, refreshment of soul. May we delight in Thee this night. Be our portion this week, Lord, we pray. Help us in our going out and our coming in to always acknowledge Thee. Lord, search us and know us. Try us. See if there be any wicked way in us. And lead us in the way everlasting. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.